have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Whew, we got an empowering show for you today, and well, every day really that we're on, but more so today. We're all about preparing you this segment of the show this time, and we're going to be talking about disease emergence and what that may mean for everybody's future. Also, we're going to be talking about some other diseases that, you know, have 100% mortality rate. I know, but hey, this is empowering stuff you got to know. And if we get time, we may include some things on foods and things that help you with canker sores and stuff like that. So we got lots to talk about. And we do have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, I want to remind folks that on the 18th, we're going to be talking with Dr. Carly. She's going to be back. And then on the 20th, John Monroe will be with us. And he's our natural vision expert. So he'll be talking about some ways you can naturally deal with vision problems. And he'll also be with us on the 25th so that our shortwave show listeners can hear what he has to say. So John's Jack's going to be busy with us this month. And before you know it, it'll be April. And all the winter stuff will be, you know, just history, bad memory. So hang in there, folks. It'll warm up. And before we get to the Quack Report, big salute in Semper Five. I'm lifting up our righteous men and women in prayer that God protect them. And I'm lifting up the nation of America. I'm lifting up all those all over the world that, you know, deserve to live free, you know, without tyranny and oppression and control and, you know, all that stuff that, you know, is happening everywhere all the time, it seems. So we need God's help, though. We got to hit the knees, seek the Lord's face, and mind the time, because we're going to need some supernatural help. Now, we can't do it ourselves, so we got to ask the Lord, and if it's his will, it'll be done, but it's our job to ask. So I hope you'll join me in that, praying every day. I pray for you all every day. And without further ado, let's do the Quack Report. Thanks, Frank. What do we got in the quacker? Ooh, we got some cheese on recall. If you guys are cheese lovers, listen up. It's been responsible for one death and several illnesses. There's a company in Delaware that has recalled their, they have dozens of varieties of cheese that they make, and it's been linked to a death in California and has made newborn babies sick. The Center for Disease Control said that there's 16 cheese varieties made by Russ Foods out of Kenton, Delaware, because they had listeria apparently connected to them. The recalled brands include Mexicana, Amigo, Santa Rosa de Lima, and Anita brand cheeses. So the products were distributed in Maryland, Virginia, and the District of Columbia, and apparently 7 illnesses were reported in Maryland alone. Besides the cheese products, Ross Foods is also recalling some of their sour cream and butter products. Their sour cream was just distributed to retail stores in Delaware, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Virginia, and the District of Columbia. Now, the listeria disease, it's primarily, you know, that affects older adults, pregnant women, newborns, adults with weak immune systems, and it's particularly real bad for, dangerous for pregnant women because it seems to pass through the placenta to the baby. So gotta watch the dairy products out there. Last but not least in the Quack Report, let's see, America has we got some arsenic problems, apparently. Heavy metal poisoning is becoming a very serious issue in America as toxins in underground water increasingly turning up in drinking water and in the general food supply. So arsenic is considered a Class A human carcinogen, according to the International Agency for Research on Cancer, and test results reveal the presence of potentially disturbing levels of arsenic coming up in brown rice protein, and various other rice-based products. So where is the bulk of the arsenic? Well, where is it hiding? It's in well water in springs, groundwater contamination, and includes places like contamination has shown up in New Jersey, Maryland, and the surrounding northeastern states, as well as Michigan, Idaho, California, Arizona, and Washington. Now, other states have also identified large swaths of arsenic in central, south, and southeast areas. Arsenic is being absorbed by rice crops. All right, so levels of arsenic greater than 10 micrograms per liter all across central Michigan and Idaho and into California's Central Valley. So they're using this water to irrigate crops with. So it's contaminating high areas, including Nebraska, South Dakota, Oklahoma, Illinois, parts of Utah, Colorado, and New Mexico. So the problem with this arsenic is it affects enzyme reactions, and it affects all your organ systems of the body. It tends to be linked to gastrointestinal problems. It damages cardiovascular areas of the body, neurological areas, skin problems, can produce leukemia, and so forth and so on. So, you know, watch the water, maybe want to have it tested, and keep praying, stay close to the Lord. And that wraps the Crack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to talk about the disease emergence, because this is pretty serious stuff. I've talked about this unusual occurrence of disease, because recently we've been seeing some unusual and unknown diseases emerge. They're affecting animals and humans alike. So researchers in the medical communities are kind of concerned and even dismayed at how to treat the disease, and more importantly, they're asking, how is this possible? So the emergence of new disease has been documented for over a decade. Therefore, you may be asking, you know, why are medical professionals, why do they seem so confused about it? Well, what they are astonished by is the biodiversity of the disease from the animal host to the human one and the lethal impact of these infectious microbes. So, you know, we've talked about this increase in animal-to-human disease before. It's also known as zoonosis, and the CDC is supposedly monitoring this situation. But where does this leave us, and what can we expect, and how can we protect ourselves? So we're going to try to answer those questions. We got to ask ourselves, with all these diseases, you know, what does the future hold? Yeah, we might ask, with all the new pathogen threats to humans, will there even be a future? So, well, it's no surprise that the environmental sector is more concerned about the animals and the plants than they really are about humanity. Journal articles have been written about what these diseases will do to the ecosystems, and humans seem to be an afterthought. For instance, an article in the Journal of Conversion Biology, it was back in 2006, it was so concerned with the environment that they estimated that a new disease could destroy vegetation and certain species of warm-blooded animals. No mention of man. So in the May 2000 issue, there was also a symposium mentioned at the American Museum of Natural History, which explored the habitat changes and the deforestation due to urbanization, which most likely would contribute to the increase of animal diseases crossing over to infect humans. So they have boldly stated that 25% of plant vegetation and animal vertebrates would be extinct by 2050. So you can see where this is going, right? I know you can. You guys are savvy out there. They want to blame the disease emergence on man and the highly debated global warming. Let me read you a quote by Richard Ostfeldt. He's an ecologist of the Institute of Ecosystem Studies. He says this, "I think biodiversity is a big factor in disease emergence, and clearly climate change is affecting biodiversity." End of quote. Yeah, but, you know, is this all just, you know, a natural thing? You know, is this what nature intended? Well, there are two sides of the disease emergence story. So is it really nature taking a normal course, or is there intentional disease manipulation? Well, according to a study published in the Journal of Nature, scientists are in the dark as to why zoonosis is occurring, and they are speculating that it is temperature change causing disease to leap from an animal species to humans, not overnight, but in stages. So medicine is telling us that most, if not all, disease has originated in animals, and it infects man by close contact with domesticated and non-domesticated animals. So this would include your measles, your mumps, your smallpox, influenza A, tuberculosis, and various plagues. Science thinks that these pathogens and the newest diseases have gone through what they call infectious disease transition. They describe five stages that a disease goes through in order to jump from animals to humans. They describe steps in which the disease on its own evolves from when it does not infect humans to being transmitted to humans. So they describe a metamorphosis stage where the disease is not passed from human to human, but then suddenly it it is causing occasional outbreaks. And then further evolution of the disease makes it 100% adaptable with human-to-human infestation, while it is still possible, of course, to contract the disease from the animal sources. You believe that? I don't. Well, let's talk about some other scapegoats they've come up with. Science also blames other scapegoats in the evolution of your diseases. We're given the five stages on how disease crosses the gap from animal to humans. And then science announces that a majority of animal pathogens never cross over to infect humans. Their evolution is different because for a disease to cross from animals to humans, it's not easy to transfer. So which is it, folks? Is it evolving or isn't it? You know, getting kind of complicated here. So we're told that man's interference has helped select diseases that would bridge the animal to human gap. And they say they've done this via, you know, blood transfusions, international travel, and contaminated syringes, you know, drug use. Really? You know, what happened to the global warming cause? Well, and Richard Aspelt, he says also people move pathogens around, end of quote. So what excuse are they going to come up with next? Overpopulation of the planet? Well, Osfeld thinks that biodiversity is also a factor, and if we have more animals and fewer humans, there will be less disease. Well, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. If their theory is correct that all disease starts with animals and therefore would still be disease, just fewer people to be infected with it, right? So it wouldn't be less disease in reality, technically, no. Well, Richard goes on to say, wildlife pathogens support the suggestion that these kind of human pathogens, the zoonotic diseases, are an important source of future epidemics and future disease emergence in humans. Did you catch that? Diseases from animals are, quote, an important source of future pandemics, end of quote. You know, why would anyone put it that way? Unless scientists are the ones isolating disease from animals and manipulating them in the lab to encourage or to secure the pathogen jump from animals to humans. I'm asking the question. Well, let's take a little peek at the global map. Scientists report that they have been tracking pathogens since the 40s, and they have concluded that the emergence of modern-day diseases have resonated from Europe and the east coast of North America. We're expected to believe that as temperature escalates on the planet, that new diseases will spread. According to the scientists, the hotter the planet gets, the more virulent the organisms will become. Let me read you this quote by Nathan Wolf, UCLA graduate and author of Nature Study. He says this, "There will continue to be new diseases that enter into the human population," end of quote. Now, how could any scientist say that with certainty, that new diseases will continue, unless they have their hand of control on all that? Seriously. How can anybody say that as a scientist? There will be. That's definite verbiage, folks. Let's talk about breeding disease, because that's what it seems to be going on here. Science has boasted that they are mastering the art of gene manipulation to the extent that they can take disease-resistant genes and make them non-resistant to disease genes. So the University of California, they've been experimenting with gene manipulation in crops for nearly 20 years. Now, in 1995, the annual review of phytopathology, they reported on molecule markers and traits that can cross genes. So they learned how to take unresistant plants and make them more resistant to diseases and vice versa. Animals were the next in the natural progression of scientific testing. So they were hoping for what is known as transgenic disease control. But as with most things in nature, it's thrown a monkey wrench into things. I kind of compare it to a recipe with too many cooks in the kitchen and things go wrong. So in gene manipulation, you have more molecules than you would ingredients in a recipe. So keeping all the molecules straight would drive anyone insane. And according to the review, quote, many genes are involved in determining the outcome of the interaction between plants and pathogens, end of quote. I'll say many. Yeah, try hundreds. So according to the Perelman School of Medicine, their Department of Medicine is working on the molecule controls of cellular growth to target pathobiology. They admit that all their work is experimental, and their research does affect human immune systems. Mm. So now the Drexel University College of Medicine is working on synthetic biology with regards to infections. And you know what? Who's to say that Morgellons disease is not a synthetic parasite experiment gone wrong? Think about it. Synthetic pathogens are considered bioterrorism weapons. So one could read the actual homepage of Homeland Security Newswire to see how advanced the area of synthetic biology has become. So they want to harness human genomes and control them to the point that we'll soon have, quote, intelligent implants to supposedly prevent disease. Yeah. You know, I already have an intelligent immune system that does that. God gave it to me. Thank you very much. Well, let's go in depth for just a minute, because it doesn't take much to see the big picture. And now some folks see science as breaking new grounds in modern medicine in order to prevent sickness. Others see the Lord's hand using the mad scientist, which attempt to pervert his creation, to bring about the plagues of the latter days. So mankind was informed by God in Deuteronomy 28 that obedience brings blessings and disobedience brings cursing. So if you read the chapter, you can see that our modern-day problem with cancer is considered inflammatory disease and fungus of the Bible. Infections are referred to as fevers. Respiratory disease is called consumption. Neurological diseases are called extreme burning. Morgellons, this is called in the Bible the scab and itch, which cannot be healed. And no prosperity is considered madness and blindness, and wars, of course, is listed as oppression. Because, you know, you're conquered. Yeah, I mean, if you read Deuteronomy 28, verses 60 and 61, you read this. Moreover, he, the Lord, will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which you are afraid of, and they will cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon you until you be destroyed. So it appears that scientists are fulfilling God's prophecy for the nations who are disobedient and who are going to accept the Antichrist system. Wow. So be prepared, you know. That's what I say, because, you know, I prefer to protect my body. That's the temple for the Holy Spirit. I prefer to protect my body that God's given me and not pervert it with unhealthy foods and drugs. Okay? I intentionally select medicinal herbs that will strengthen the body to be more resistant to disease. So, you know, God's herbs are here for the service of man, and they are meat. He said that, Genesis, first book of Genesis, verse 29, and Psalms 104:14. You can read it for yourself. So, you know, I do what I can. And then for everything else, I trust God to stand in the gap. You can read about that in Psalms 91. He promises to do that. So if you are interested in cleansing your body of toxins and pathogens and pharmaceutical residues and insecticides and more, well, call the experts in organ cleansing. If you're interested in strengthening your immune system and building lifelong immunity, well, then call the experts in immune boosting. Call Apothecary Herbs. They have a toll-free number. That's what they do. They've been doing it for over a decade. You give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's toll-free 24/7 number at 866-229-3663. 3663. Of course, if you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277. And they do have a website. You can check it out, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Now, if you forget all that, And you're listening to Herb Talk Live here on American Voice Radio, you can still get to their website by typing in herbtalklive.com. There you go. And it's all there for you to review, and they have a free product catalog they can send to you. And if you do get on their website, don't forget to sign up for their free online newsletters. Now, these are newsletters that go to your email. They're not hard copy, so you'll have to, fill in your email address, and they'll go out to you each week, and they're packed full of natural, healthy information plus discount coupons you can use towards your herbal products at the powerherbs.com website. So get informed, get discount coupons, get powerful tools in your hands, and get better. I like it. All right, we got a few minutes before we have to take a break, and so we're going to be talking about some things that have 100% mortality. A lot of consumers are becoming more informed about a lot of the risks of medical treatments and some of the drugs they're prescribed, even some foods. And so we're going to check into that and see, try to avoid some big business poisons, as I put it, and some of these medical treatments that can not be too healthy for you. So we got to ask ourselves, are we trading human life to avoid big business bankruptcy a lot of times? You know what I'm saying? Medical doctors tend to promote toxic treatments as effective, and patients translate effective into cure, but it's not a cure. They don't cure anything. So chemotherapy and radiation, they're promoted as effective treatments, but they don't cure cancer. They prolong the inevitable, because, remission isn't a cure, folks. And even medicine admits that. So we're going to check some of these medical treatments out here, because most medical doctors are not going to voluntarily tell patients that there is really no correlation between tumor shrinkage, for instance, and some of the cancer cures. So doctors know that chemotherapy has never been shown to cure cancer, and evidence is suggesting that you have less of a chance if you take some of the treatments like chemo and radiation for cancer. So these are all well-documented studies and cases that you can pull up even on the internet and do your homework yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. Well, let's look at some of the medical treatments. Here are some of them that could be a health nightmare for you. Allergy shots, very customary these days for people to go to their, dermatologists to get allergy shots, but they can cause respiratory arrest within 30 minutes of getting them, so you got to be careful. Inoculations cause allergic reactions, autoimmune diseases, and even delayed death, so you got to be careful there. Radiation therapy, not only will you have nausea and vomiting, but it also can cause neurological damage and death. And, of course, your AIDS drugs. Liposomal offered in high mortality rate of about 100%. So there's a drug, liposomal for AIDS. It's not killing the AIDS. It's killing the host that has the AIDS. But most people aren't hearing that. So you need to do your homework. As Dr. Carly has said here on the show, you could take your prescription medicine that you've been told to take and type it in with side effects next to it online. See what's up. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Oh, life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Mortality treatments, and unfortunately, they seem to kind of center around the cancer problem. Chemotherapy doesn't kill all the cancer, actually. When you go take the chemo drugs, they inflame and damage large members of cells of the body, and they also impair the immune system. And this basically is the perfect recipe for growing more cancer, by the way. And most cancer patients die within 1 to 2 years of the treatment. So the treatment kind of overburdens the liver, makes the liver vulnerable to developing cancer itself. And, well, here's a question. Does the cancer or does the cancer treatment kill the patient? According to Dr. John Fracascus of Booth Memorial Radiation and Therapy Association, he says, quote, radiotherapy and chemotherapy offer a uniform poor outcome, which is essentially 100% mortality, end of quote. Well, there's a doctor who just confirms it for you. So the medical establishment and the oncologists know, they know this. It was published in the 1979 Journal of Cancer, volume 43, page 2439. There you go. All right, let me read you this quote by Alvin Levine, MD. He said, most cancer patients in this country die of chemotherapy, which does not eliminate breast, colon, or lung cancers. This fact has been documented over and over again over a decade. Yet doctors still use chemotherapy for these diseases, and patients are likely to die faster with chemo than without it. End of quote. Well, and what about the fallout? Is there another disease? Well, we have to actually stop and think of the side effects of some of these annoying, but the uncontrollable symptoms, the side effects, if you will, are basically a second disease to the disease they're treating you for. Otherwise, they wouldn't prescribe drugs or treatments for it. So if you are if you were not a disease, a doctor would, you know, if it wasn't a disease, he would be prohibited from prescribing another medication for it. So a side effect is technically a medical disease. So chemo patients are told that their treatment will improve their quality of life, but in reality, it wrecks it, wrecks their immune system, creates gastrointestinal diseases, promotes hair loss, of course. It has life-threatening mouth sores. It creates anemia. It causes a system-wide inflammation across the body. And all sorts of symptoms of this treatment then get prescription drugs for this, those side effects, those secondary diseases. So chemo attacks white and the red blood cells, which reduce immune system function. It reduces oxygen-rich blood flow, which feeds the body to regenerate. It hinders that. And 60 to 100 trillion cells of the body don't get any oxygen, and this produces massive fatigue. That's why chemo patients look really washed out and lifeless. Now, as one cancer patient described the cancer treatments, they said this, a physical death without dying. Wow, that's a pretty powerful statement. So tell me how that improves the patient's quality of life, will you? Well, let's talk about some long-term side effects. There's one thing that's really not talked about with regards to chemo and radiation of these cancer treatments. It's the long-term thing. Patients that receive these treatments discover that the body can no longer respond to nutritional or immune strengthening therapies to become cancer free. Uh-oh. Death knell. I think hospitals that, you know, promote this kind of treatment for cancer patients should, you know, fly the pirate flag outside. Seriously. The skull and crossbone thing. Now, so if they can't absorb nutrition and they have no immune system, this explains why the people who have cancer treatments, they have to avoid, you know, babies and children that carry disease and crowds and stuff like that. As Dr. Saskis stated, chemo and radiation cancer treatments don't have a cure rate. They have a mortality rate. There's no cure rate that you're being told that. Cure rate of 96 to 98% is fake. It's a flat-out lie. Now, there are a few that go into what is called remission, but it comes back. All right, let's talk about some of this. You might be thinking that if the medical treatment has close to 100% mortality rate, that it would not only – it wouldn't be allowed, right? Authorities would just say, no, no more. We can't do that. Well, let's get some sobering smelling salts here, because these treatments bring in $1 trillion a year. So That's how much the cancer machine earns every year using radiation and chemo treatments. So if someone tries to kill the cancer machine, they're going to run into an army of lawyers, lobbyists, and politicians. So research on the bogus cancer treatments was actually conducted by German epidemiologist Dr. Ulrich Abel of the Tumor Clinic of the University of Heidelberg, and he scoured every clinical study on chemotherapy that was published, and he didn't stop there. Dr. Abel, he called 350 medical centers asking them to send him published documentation on chemotherapy. He also looked over the published articles in medical journals, and this took him to several years to go over all this research data, but then he published his findings in the Lancet Journal on August 10, 1991. And in doing so, he put every medical doctor and cancer patient on alert. His conclusion was that chemotherapy was an appalling treatment for cancer or any disease. He stated that he could not find any credible scientific evidence in any study to support the chemo extended life of a patient philosophy that we're told. Couldn't find it. The medical community will not give up chemo and radiation treatments for the disease because, one, they have no substitute for treatment, and B, they can't say goodbye to the money from the bogus treatments. So most of you have heard about Dr. Abel's study because the media, you know, you may not have heard about it because the media blacked it out, so you weren't allowed to know that. So $1 trillion is a whole lot of hush money, wouldn't you say? The American Medical Journals refused to publish his findings after that. Uh-oh. Money answereth all things. All right, so before you decide to undergo some medical cancer treatments by your oncologist, you know, you want to ask him, you know, let's produce some proof here, doc, that the treatments actually cure cancer. Okay? I don't want a remission. I want a cure. Can you guarantee a cure? Get it in writing. Bet you're not going to get it in writing. Mm-mm. Right? So a remission is a temporary reduction of symptoms. That's what it's technically. It's not a cure. So a cure is a restoration, a return to the original state of health, and not just for 28 days. It's forever. See? So know that chemotherapy and radiation treatments are not your best chance for survival, as demonstrated by Dr. Abel's published research, the one he got in The Lancet anyway. And at some point, you know, I think the truth will become known as patients, you know, just start saying no to the poisonous toxins, the radiation. It's robbing them of a fair chance of responding to a real 100% cure. Now, as the good book states, whenever they're wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. That's Matthew 7:20. So, I mean, obviously medicine doctors are lying. I mean, and if you look at the truth of the matter, doctors who get cancer, they don't even get that treatment. They say no. They do something else. They close their practice and spend the time they have with their families. That's the least they do. So, hey, inform yourself about cancer. The folks at Windsor Medical College in Canada, Dr. Carolyn Hamm and Dr. Candy, discovered by accident that cancer patients did a lot better when they took dandelion root. So they investigated dandelion root, and they found that there's something in dandelion root that causes cancer cells to commit suicide but leaves healthy cells alone. They tested on leukemia. They tested on all forms of cancer cells, did the same thing. Doesn't matter what kind of cancer, dandelion root took them out. Yeah? And there's got to be something to it because, you know, they just got a grant for $157 million, I think, to do more research on dandelion root. Obviously, you know, probably to find out what the alkaloid is in dandelion root so, you know, pharmaceutical companies can make you a drug out of it. Hey! You got dandelion root. Who needs the drug? And if you're looking for dandelion root, the folks at Apothecary Herbs have it. You check it out at thepowerherbs.com. All right. We've got a few more minutes, so we're going to be talking about some foods here and some of the top 10 health concerns Americans are having. Apparently, the Mayo Clinic has reported that the top 10 health problems that Americans face don't really have a distinction between men and women any longer. It's just everybody gets it. Okay? It used to be men would get heart disease more than men, more than women, and have heart attacks more than women. Apparently not anymore. So let's look. Top 10. Heart disease is at the top of the list. Cancer's after that. Then comes stroke and respiratory diseases, because we're seeing more cases of emphysema, asthma, COPD. We just talked about the curses from the Bible being consumption. Hello. We're seeing injuries. More people are having accidents. Diabetes is on the list. Alzheimer's, influenza, pneumonia, kidney diseases, and septicemia, blood poisoning. That's a big problem. Sepsis, especially if you're diabetic. All right, let's look at some of the causes, because most people are not born with these health problems. You know, they get them because of their lifestyle, usually, aside from the accidents. That's an accident. So people aren't getting regular exercise. They're not eating whole foods, whole nutritious foods, and their health is being affected, and they're falling into these top 10 categories. So let's take a look at our conscientious efforts to eat healthier, live healthier, and avoid some of these types of illnesses. And there are some foods that can either promote disease or promote wellness. Now, there was a recent report by the USDA and the National Organic Standards Board. They say that some are sabotaging the organic industry, especially fresh produce marketplaces, in attempts to, you know, compromise the foods. So it appears that since the inception of the National Organic Standards Board, the organic produce is permitted to be treated now with antibiotics. Now, last year was very bad. It was a very bad year for apple trees due to the destructive bacteria called fire blight, and it can also attack pear trees. So the bacteria attacks blossoms and shoots and limbs and sometimes the entire tree, making it look burned. So growers were permitted to kill the bacteria with antibiotics. Now, and they saved the tree and some of the harvest, but technically they were allowed to keep the organic standard, though. Okay, so let me ask you, if your fruit was treated with streptomycin, for instance, or tetracycline, would you consider it organic? No. Would you want to eat a fruit that has been treated with those types of drugs? Not me. So what do you suppose will eventually happen to the fruit trees which are routinely treated with drugs as a preventative? Well, the bacteria becomes resistant, and then it's much more difficult to control, see? Now, will the bees that pollinate these treated blossoms spread resistant bacteria to other vegetation? Possibly. Antibiotic overuse has a medical, and the medical community has caused a panic. I mean, okay, they've ruined people's immune systems, and they caused superbugs for the human race. Now they're doing it to the vegetation and animals. They haven't learned a thing. All right, so I tend to agree with Jonathan Benson, who is who says that the word antibiotic means against life, and it's not consistent with organic philosophy. So we definitely want to be checking our fruits and vegetables and make sure they're organic. They don't have to have non-GMO. They just have to have certified organic on there, or grow your own. Now, some people that go overseas have noticed that some countries, like the Ukraine, which is, you know, having their own civil war over there, they use all organically grown foods there. European Union is not forcing any antibiotic use on produce over there. So they're not using resistant varieties of fruit trees either. to combat any problems in bacteria, and they're avoiding a lot of chemicals and pesticides. So what are they doing that we're not?
The National Organic Standards Board extended the use of antibiotics to fruit farmers through 2014, hoping to replace the chemical cocktail they're now using with some more natural growing practices. So chemical-free biological controls need to be implemented, apparently. And what about these residues? The farmers are spraying antibiotics on fruit trees during blossom stage, and the consumers now wonder how much of the antibiotic they're ingesting when they eat the treated fruit. You want to know how much? Well, we already know that prescription antibiotics disrupt the change of the gut flora, making us vulnerable to other illnesses like candida overgrowth and chronic fatigue syndrome. So how much of an antibiotic are you going to eat in one bite of an apple or pear? Well, we are told that there are no reports of residues being greater than what is accepted in a tolerance level of 0.35 parts per million. But the Environmental Protection Agency states that the amount of antibiotics we get filling prescription drugs is 50 to 200,000 times greater than what we are exposed to eating fruit that's treated with antibiotics. But if you compare the antibiotic-treated produce to true organic produce, your exposure is 10 to 20 times greater than with non-organic produce. So the research team at Washington State University said that in 2007, you're going to be exposed to 43 times more antibiotics when you eat non-organic produce. So it's going to be real, real important to save your pennies and spend more on the produce and avoid that antibiotic stuff. Because most American consumers don't want to eat the produce that's been treated, and some people can't afford eating certified organic. So it's going to be real important to learn how to grow your own, basically, if you can. There's people in cities growing produce and stuff in their apartments, in windowsills, you know, where they get light and stuff. So it's not impossible. So animals are treated with antibiotics, and the GM produce is spliced with antibiotics to cut down on bacteria. The meat, the dairy, the produce seem to all be treated with antibiotics. So how much antibiotics are we really getting? I mean, they've increased the use of antibiotics by 30% per year. For right now, there's 70 species of bacteria that's infecting humans, which can't be controlled by antibiotics. So killer-resistant bacteria is going to be on the list of the health concerns shortly. So what's my plan? Well, my plan is to eat the whole food, clean whole food as much as I can. I'd rather not go to the movies. I'd rather not have cable or some other luxury or entertainment and have my whole foods. I put the money there. See, I'd rather spend it at the grocery store getting some really good stuff than at the doctor's office. Of course, you know, I'm the herbalist, so I'm my own doctor, and so I do the natural stuff. So I do my organ cleansing. I do my immune boosting. I boost those T cells. I work on lifelong immunity. I don't work on drug-resistant stuff. So, but that's just me, okay? If you want to learn more about organ cleansing and boost an immune system, and when I say boost immune system, you know, I know recently doctors have said, you can't boost immune system, that's impossible. Really? Well, with all the antibiotic and vaccines that people have been injected with and exposed to, their immune system is suppressed. So when I say immune boosting, I'm saying bringing the immune system up, a minimum bringing the immune system up to normal function. See, bringing it back, right? Kind of waking it up, getting it out of the wheelchair, and strengthening it. See, that's my thing. If I look at a therapy, I ask myself, is that going to strengthen me? Do I have to take that stuff for the rest of my life, or is this short term? See, I only want it to be short term. I'm talking outside of food. You know, if I'm using a natural therapy, an herb or something, you shouldn't have to have to use that all your life either. See, because herbs, you wouldn't have to. They strengthen you. They strengthen a system. So let's say you got a weak cardio, and you know you want to strengthen that. Well, I do a couple of things. I'd get regular exercise. I'd watch the red meats. I get rid of all processed foods. I do more fruits and vegetables. I would definitely do my organ cleansing. And I would use my heart and cardio herbs, which would be red clover, hawthorn berries, garlic, and cayenne. Maybe aloe. Throw some aloe in there. And that's going to strengthen heart muscle. It's really going to improve blood pressure from head to foot. It's going to thin the blood. Not as thick, cholesterol. So really going to work for me, not against me. And then the other thing I'm going to add is Celtic sea salt. And I know some people say, well, you shouldn't take salt. That sodium's bad for your blood pressure, blah, blah, blah. Well, not if it's sun-dried salt. It has 84 minerals. Minerals are important for the system. They're important for electrical function. It's important for the heart muscle to beat properly so you don't have arrhythmias. And it's also important for cell chemistry. And it strengthens cell walls and keeps cell walls flexible so that the arteries and veins don't get hard and rigid and you don't get arteriosclerosis. So salt is a preservative not only of meats, it's a preservative of our health. And you're not going to go crazy and use too much of it. You're going to use a third less salt. So I would use sun-dried salt, Celtic salt. Ocean salt, I think, is preferred. Chemistry is almost identical to our chemistry. So it's putting back the electrolytes. And the electrolytes are really medical's term for minerals that promote electrical impulses in the nervous system. That's what that's about. So while you're out there chugging down all that garbage, you know, sport drink stuff, you're not going to get the electrolytes because they don't have the healthy salt in there. They have the processed salt in there, the garbage that's been, you know, processed. It's been distilled, all the minerals taken out and sold to supplement manufacturers for more money, and you get a salt that's worth zero. Well, if you want some Celtic salt, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They'll sell it to you from France. Salt, clay, salt flats for proper evaporation of the salt, so no artificial heatings involved. When you artificially heat a salt, it lowers the medicinal power and it turns it white. Real salt's going to be a little bit on the gray side. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs, ask them about it, or go to the website, thepowerherbs.com, and if you're nice, you can ask for a free sample and they'll send it to you. ThePowerHerbs.com or give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 704-885-0277. Close to being out of time, so I don't have time to cover the canker sore, cold sore thing. We'll save that for next time. And by the way, if you're on the website, sign up for the newsletters. You have time to sign up for the HealthQuest newsletter. It goes out tomorrow. And you could get a free issue tomorrow with great information to empower yourself, plus discount coupons to use for your herbal products on the PowerHerbs.com website. So check that out. Hey, gotta go, but the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.